वर्स नंबर 77। तच्च संस्मृत्य संस्मृत्य रूपमत्यद्भुतं हरे हरेहे सॉरी रूपमद्यद्भुतं हरेहे विस्मयो मे महान् राजन् हृष्यामि च पुनः पुनः सो तत् नाउ ही सेज व्हाट एल्स नाउ तच्च एंड आल्सो दैट what I am remembering samsmritya samsmritya again and again I am remembering what rupam ati adbhutam harehe harehe means krishna the lord his adbhutam rupa because he is talking about the cosmic form the whole 11th chapter describes the cosmic form of krishna where arjuna at arjuna's request krishna shows him his cosmic form where just in that body of Krishna, you know, whatever 6 feet or whatever his height was in that body, Arjuna sees the whole universe, everything he shows him. So that, he says that adbhutam, to see that form of Krishna where the entire universe I could see in that, vismayo, I am just amazed, I am shocked that how could I see that? You see, they were the only two people who saw it, even though there were thousands of people in the battlefield. Sanjay, because he had the divine drishti from Vyasa, and Sanjay and Arjuna, because Krishna had divyam dadami te chakshuhu. In the 11th chapter, he says, I am going to give you this divya drishti, so you will be able to see this form of mine. And he says, I have seen that form, and Mahan Rajan, I am extremely, Mahan means I am greatly amazed, I am so happy, thrilled, O king. And Hrishyami cha punah punah. Again and again I rejoice. Because when you have seen something so beautiful, you can't forget it. Can you imagine how that view would have been that Bhagavan is standing there and you see the entire universe? In fact, it is said in the 11th chapter, not only Arjuna could see all the planets, all the stars, everybody that was there in the battlefield, he could see them. Not only them, but he could see the other worlds. He saw the heavens, he saw all the devtas, and he saw all the gods in heaven, and then he went. Then he could see the hell, the patala, all the lower worlds. Not only that, he could see past, present, and future. He could see the Kaurava army, you know, going towards its destruction. He even saw his own death, Arjuna could see. So that kind of vision, when one sees, how can you ever forget that? So that's why he says, I can never forget, and I'm so thrilled and so blessed that I could see that. So as we said, he saw the past, present, and future, the entire universe, and his response was, wow. You know, when you see something, you can't even change it. And it, as we said, only Arjuna could see it. Evam rupa aham riloke drashtum tvadanyena kuru praviro. Krishna says, O Arjuna, except you, no one else could see it. And he says, why? How could Arjuna see it? He says, because he had extreme devotion, extreme love. Devotion is not only love, but love with understanding. And that's what Krishna says. Bhaktya ananya shakya aham evam vidorjuna. So if you want to know me, if you want to reach me, gyatum trashtum cha tatvena. You have to know my essence, who I am. And when you have that kind of love and that kind of devotion to me, then I will reveal myself to you. That's what they say, this knowledge, when you meditate or pray, or you can only go so far in your meditation, in your study. And then you have to wait, and then the Lord reveals himself to you when you have that devotion, when you have that intense desire. That's why they say the goal of spirituality should be mumukshutvam, an intense desire for liberation. Then and then alone, the Lord reveals himself. And the joy that the person gets when he's on this spiritual path, when he has accomplished that. And all the great yogis describe that, you know, the final state of realization. And when you hear about it, it's very interesting. If you hear from the rishis in the, you know, from the Upanishads, or when they're talking about that, or you hear Christian saints and they describe that state, or you hear from all the, whether wherever the people are, whether it's Jain Munis or Buddhist monks or whoever, when they describe that state of realization, attainment, it is all the same. Their words are exactly the same. It is just the language is different, because the experience is one. That experience of that highest is inexplicable. That's why there was a great saint in Gujarat called Swami Prannaji, Mahamati Prannath, and he says, what I have seen, what I have experienced, I cannot describe. It cannot be put in words, because this knowledge is so immense. It is so grand. But I am forced to say it for all of you, because I want all of you to try and experience what I have experienced. So to encourage us, to give us incentive, it's like you have been to some place, you know, Alaska. Ah, it's so beautiful. Then you tell everybody, look, you should go take a cruise. That's one of the best cruises you can have. So similarly, these great saints have written these books, whether it's Gita or Quran or Bible or Buddhist philosophy or Jain philosophy. It is for us, to encourage us to go. And what is the final experience? So when he saw Krishna as this substratum, he's the support, and the whole universe exists upon him. And that's what we know, that the Brahman, the Lord, is the substratum, is the support of this universe. And everything that we see is nothing but that Brahman with name and form. That's what they say. What is this universe? Nothing but Bhagavan alone with name and form. It is an appearance. Actually, it is only one reality, one substratum. And that's what we see. We see the unity. That's what Arjuna could see, that in the Lord, he could see everybody, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, good, bad, indifferent, animals, birds, plants, everything. So that unity, that oneness is what this message of this 11th chapter is, and what Sanjay is telling us. It's like you see an ant, you know, we see an ant and you see the ant walking by, and we don't think anything about it because the ant is so tiny, I am so big. Ant cannot do anything except carry grain and make a house. I can, you know, do so much. At that level, yes. At the level of work, yes, the ant can achieve so much. I can achieve so much more. But when you look from life, life is the same. She has as much love for her life as I have for mine. So then you see that there is one life that is there in all the plants, all the animals, birds, fish. So that unity, that there is one life, there is one consciousness pervading everything. And that then you develop respect for all life. Then you don't unnecessarily destroy plants or kill animals or hurt any creature. Because when you are doing that, you are hurting yourself. Because I alone am in all of these. Because they are all me. I am all them. So I and that Brahman are not separate. I and God are not separate, because God is in all of them. Everything is God. Everything is Brahman. So I and Brahman are one. That is the message of the Upanishads. Tattvamasi. You are that. When the rishis are telling us, what they mean is not that I am God, but that God is everything. Everything is Him, including me. So that unity, that message of the Bhagavad Gita was made so clear to Sanjay, to Arjuna. And that's why for us, reading the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads or any scriptures should bring you the message of unity. Now there is a word Harehe. So Hari, of Hari. Hari means Krishna. But Hara means to steal. So the Hari means the looter, the stealer. So that's a very interesting word for Krishna. He was given the name Hari. They say because he used to steal butter. You know, so people say always, oh, he used to steal butter go to others' homes. You know, if he's God, how can he be stealing butter? So this stealing of butter, actually all the Puranic stories, all these stories have a lot of symbolism. They should not only be seen for what they are, but one has to see the symbolic meaning. First, even the worldly meaning, let's go forget about the symbolic meaning. Now, when the gopis were preparing butter, you know, so what would they do? They would get up in the morning, Krishna, 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 Krishna. They would be remembering and chanting his name. Then they go to the cow, you know, the cow shed, the goshala, and there they are washing the goshala, washing the cows, cleaning it, Krishna, 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 Krishna. They are remembering him. They're milking the cows, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then they take the milk home, they warm it, and put some yogurt in it, Krishna, Krishna. You know, they're putting yogurt. As whole night, the yogurt is, the milk is becoming into yogurt. They are remembering Krishna, Krishna. In the morning, they get the yogurt out, Krishna, Krishna. Then they are churning the lassi, and out of that butter is coming, Krishna, Krishna, again. And when they have that butter, now after having remembered Krishna all the time, now what do they do? Put the butter up so Krishna shouldn't get it. You know, they put it way up and, you know, lock the door and put the key in their sari. So that now your whole, Krishna says, oh, all the time you were remembering me, and then now you are telling me not to get it. This butter is made for me. And actually they used to enjoy that. It was just a game that they would lock it up, but they were happy that Krishna is coming and eating the butter, because their whole life was dedicated to Krishna. That's all they wish to think about, morning to evening. They thought of nothing but him. So he said, this butter is mine. I am the one who has given you everything. This whole universe is mine. When I am the giver, it's like I give, you give my son a car. Then if I want to borrow it, you know, it's I. He says, son, dad, of course you can borrow. You are the one who gave it to me. So Krishna says, I am the one who gives you everything. If I come and take it, how can it be called stealing? So that is from the worldly view. But from the symbolic view, see, the butter represents the karma phala, like the fruit of the action, right? So you took the milk and you made yogurt and you churned it. So out of that came butter. So butter is the result of action. So in our life, when we do karmas, activities, there comes a karma phala, the result of the action. And what is the result of the action? If the action is dedicated to the Lord, then it does not leave any residual vasanas. But if you have done selfish activities, then there are some residual vasanas that are there in deep in our personality, just as they had hidden them deep inside the pot. So deep in us, there are residual vasanas. And the Lord says, when you dedicate your activities to me and do all dedicated to me, then first of all, you won't have any vasanas. You won't accumulate new vasanas. But if there are any old vasanas that are hidden in your personality from this life or from previous life, I will steal them away. I will take them away. So that's why this stealing of the butter is very symbolic, because the karma phala that is pure, it does not lead to vasanas. But if there is some trace of impurity in your motive, then it's the Lord himself who comes and steals it. So that's why stealing of the butter is very symbolic, and it is often misunderstood by people. You know, they question it or they doubt it. You know, even the children, well, how can he be stealing butter? So that's why it's good for us to know, so that when the children ask, we can answer that. So that is the beauty of this verse, where we see, if you read the 11th chapter in detail, it is so wonderful how the description of the form, and in that you see not only Arjuna's description, you see Sanjay's description, and the changes that are going through in the emotions. It's a very, very beautiful chapter. It's very wonderful. It's worth reading. So here Sanjay is summarizing that, because we are at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Any questions? Yes.
The greeting that you use here, Hari Om, what does that mean?
Hari means Hari is God's name, and Om is also God's name. Om is the sound symbol of Brahman. Lord, when, you know, Om, when we chant, because God or Brahman cannot be described, so Om is the closest sound that goes towards describing God, because Om is made up of three words, A, U, Ma. So A represents the waking state, U the dream, and Ma the deep sleep. So the waking, dream, and deep sleep, and then after Om comes silence. See, when we chant Om, we don't just go Om, Om, Om. You know, you go Om, and then there is the silence. So the waking, dream, and deep sleep, and then the silence represents the Turiya state, or the fourth state of realization. So Om represents all the entire universe, all the waking, dream, deep sleep, and the highest state. So Hari is God's name, so that's Krishna's name, and Om is also God's name. That's why we greet each other with Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namah. Hari Om.